Bible Study Vibes is your go-to platform for diving into the Bible and growing closer to Christ. Our goal is simple, really, to make studying Scripture accessible and enjoyable for everyone. Now, whether you're new to the faith or a seasoned believer, our podcasts and videos are here to guide you on your spiritual journey. So join us as we explore God's Word together and experience the power of His love and His grace. In Jesus' name.
Remember that we are saved because our Lord is patient. Our dear brother Paul told you that same thing when he wrote to you with wisdom that God gave him. That's what he says in his letters when he writes about these things. There are parts of these letters that are hard to understand, and some people give a wrong meaning to them. These people are ignorant and weak in faith. They also give wrong meanings to the other scriptures, but they are destroying themselves by doing that. So that's my favorite verse right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of people who they don't read the Bible to understand it. I feel like they read the Bible to try and use it as a way of manipulating what they want. Instead of using what God wants and then, you know, making their lives move that way, they try and show people, yeah, this is what I want. And they say, yeah, and I don't ask God for permission. I ask God for forgiveness. Like I say, this is what I'm doing. And hey, God says I should be doing this. Much rather than saying, hey, God, should I do this? And then do what God say.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to agree with you on that one.
So we're going to take it from the top. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, Jesus is going to come again. Jesus will come again. Mm-hmm. Verse number 1 says, my friends, this is the second letter I have written to you. I wrote both letters to help you, to help your honest minds remember something. I want you to remember the words that the holy prophet spoke in the past and remember the command that our Lord and Savior gave us. He gave us that command through your apostles. It's important for you to understand what will happen in the last days. People gonna laugh at you. They will live following the evil they want to do. They will say, Jesus promised to come again. Where is he? Our fathers have died, but the world continues in the way it was written. I mean, in the way it has been since it was made. Verse 5 says, but these people don't want to remember what happened long ago. The skies were there, and God made the earth from water with water. All this happened by God's word. Then the world was flooded and destroyed with water. And the same word of God is keeping the skies and the earth that we have now. They are being kept to be destroyed by fire. They are kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of all people who are against God. Verse 8, I highlighted it. It says, but don't forget this one thing, dear friends. To the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Verse 9, the Lord is not being slow in doing what is promised. The way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to change their ways and stop sinning. But the day when the Lord comes again will surprise everyone like the coming of a thief. The sky will disappear with a loud noise, everything in the sky will be destroyed with fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. Verse 11, everything will be destroyed in this way. So what kind of people should you be? Your lives should be holy and devoted to God. You should be looking forward to the day of God, wanting more than anything else for it to come soon. And when it comes, the sky will be destroyed by fire, and everything in the sky will melt with heat. But God made a promise to us, and we are waiting for what he has promised. A new sky and a new earth. That will be a place where goodness lives. So, dear friends, we are waiting for this to happen. So try as hard as you can to be without sin and without fault. Try to be at peace with God. Remember that we are saved because the Lord is patient. Our dear brother Paul told you that same thing when he wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. Verse 16, I highlighted this. It says, that's what he says in his letters when he writes about these things. There are parts of this letter that are hard to understand, and some people give a wrong meaning to them. These people are ignorant and weak in faith. They also give wrong meanings to those scriptures, to those other scriptures. But they are destroying themselves by doing that. Verse 17 says, dear friends, you already know about this, so be careful. Don't let the evil people lead you away by the wrong that they do. Be careful that you do not fall from your strong faith, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory be to him, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
So, when you think of this scripture, like, what's the vibe that you're getting from it?
The vibe I'm getting from this is, this is Peter talking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Peter is letting us know what's up, what's really good. Okay. Peter is saying, the last days, this is what they're going to look like. They're approaching. Mm-hmm. And, this is what you need to be doing. This is what you don't need to be doing. Are you going to be like them? The people who will not inherit God's kingdom? Or are you going to be like the people who will? Pick a side. Which one? Are you for God? Are you not for God? And I think... I think a verse that stood out to me in particular was, I can't remember which verse it was, but it was saying that people will laugh at you for being Christian and for following God's way, and people will be like, "Oh, your God is he's coming back, right? Where is he?" People are gonna really question your faith.
Yeah, that was verse 4. They will say, Jesus promised to come again, but where is he?
Yeah. Yeah, that stood out to me because I've experienced that before, for sure. And I'm sure many people have,
When?
Well, recently, actually, when my friend and I came on a trip up to see you.
Oh, wow.
We were having a conversation about it, and she kind of alluded to like me enjoying my worldly life rather than following my Christian values and morals because I'm young and because I'm this and because I'm that. And I told her straight up, I was like, well, I don't see any purpose in doing that. I live for God and God only. I don't live for myself, and I don't live to enjoy the things that, people of the world enjoy. So, she was like, well, I don't see why you're doing that. I was like, well, maybe it's not for you to see. I don't know. God bless you. Yeah.
Dang. That's crazy. Because, you ain't tell me that. But
I don't think I did.
Yeah, you didn't. And I'm just like, hey, listen, but God bring everything back to remembrance for real.
Absolutely.
So, you was talking about, I guess going against that thought pattern that she was projecting out, because obviously that's how she's living.
Yeah.
But now that you living in Christ, what ways does patience play in fulfilling, patience play in God's timing and fulfilling his promises as highlighted in this chapter, though? You remember the promises that he talked about in this chapter?
No, I don't.
Could
you jog my memory of it?
That he's coming back.
Yes.
Yeah, what part does patience play in that? Like what can we do as believers? Or what can you do? Since you bold in your faith, what can you do in showing your patience in God's promises?
What can I do in showing my patience? I can trust. Mm-hmm. I can trust that God is gonna do what he says he's gonna do. I know somewhere in that chapter I forget exactly which verse it is again, but it says that to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Now,
Verse number eight.
the humans can't understand, can't even begin to comprehend what that feels like, what 1,000 years feels like, or what 1,000 days feels like, or whatever. And even though I can't understand that, doesn't mean that I should question it. Because God knows what it's like, and I am trusting in Him to bring about His kingdom in the way that He said He will. So I think that's why patience plays a huge part. Patience and trust are definitely going hand in hand there. You know, it might be beyond my comprehension, but God knows, and He's going to take care of it.
Okay, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, when it comes to like just being patient and waiting on God, like I just think of it. I try and like boil things down to being simple. Like, do I think that? How can I make this as straightforward as possible? When you pay your bills, when you pay your light bill, pay your phone bill, all that stuff. You expect the next day when you wake up or whatever, you expect your lights to turn on when you flick that flick that switch.
Oh,
Yeah,
absolutely.
you expect your phone if when you wake up, you expect to make a call or something. You expect your phone to be charged or you expect your phone to actually make a call. That's the trust that I want to have in God, and that's the trust that I have in God, and that's the patience that I like. That's the trust in His promises that I have. Like, I know it's gonna happen. I don't even gotta do nothing at this point. Like, I know it's inevitable. All I have to do, the only thing I have to do is put my patience equity into it, waiting on Him. But yeah, just like I expect that light to turn on, or I expect that phone to call, I expect God to fulfill His promises, because God is more than a phone. He is more than an electric bill. He is shown me time in and time out, whether that's healing friends that was on deathbeds, whether that was providing for me when I didn't have any remnants of knowing where money or anything was gonna come from, or just performing miracles time and time again. You know, they say miracles are not for those who believe. Miracles are for those who are like who are in disbelief, who don't have strong faith. Miracles happen to show them that God is real. And because people that believe in God and have strong faith in God, they know God gonna do it. It's no miracle to them. They're like, nah, He do this.
He does this. Hello?
Yes.
Why'd you stop?
What you mean?
Oh, I thought you had more to say.
Oh no, I was about to go read the next question that I had. But
Right.
yeah. What does Peter emphasize about the importance of spiritual growth and maturity in the lives of believers, particularly in the context of anticipating the day of the Lord? All right, so I understand this question. It says, what does Peter emphasize about the importance of spiritual growth when it comes to the day, anticipating the day of the Lord? So like when God comes back, or when judgment day comes.
Okay. You said, what does Peter believe? Or what does he mean by that?
No, what does
Okay.
Peter emphasize? What does he emphasize about the importance of spiritual growth and maturity in the lives of believers, particularly in the context of anticipating the day of the Lord? So, like, spiritual growth and maturity, and how is that important? And why, what is Peter emphasizing in this scripture about that when it comes to the day of the Lord?
Well, I don't know, babe. What is he emphasizing?
I was about to say, let me go and read it. I got to get the scripture out for this one because I most definitely do not have all the answers.
Well, I
So,
definitely.
you funny. So said verse 11 through 14. Okay, verse 11 through 14. Let's read that. It says, everything will be destroyed in this way. So what kind of people should you be? Oh, this is emphasizing. Your lives should be holy and devoted to God. Okay, that's one. You should be looking forward to the day of God, wanting more than anything else for it to come soon. Okay, we should be hoping for it to come soon. When it comes, the sky will be destroyed with fire and everything in the sky will melt with heat. Like I was spitting a verse or something, you feel me? But God made a promise to us. And we are waiting for what he promised. A new sky and a new earth. That will be a place where goodness lives. Okay. I'm rocking with that. Peter cautions. What's the next question? Yeah, I like this question right here. The last question, I was like, okay, I understand. Like, you know, it's cool. But this question, I like it. It says, how does Peter caution against being influenced by false teachings and maintaining stability and faith amidst opposition and skepticism? I just want to bring it all the way back to what you had said earlier because you hit it right on the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being cautious against being influenced by false teachers and maintaining stability against opposition and skepticism. You are facing opposition because your friend, she most definitely, whether that was her, you know, being curious about God or her just being curious about your faith, that might have been an opportunity for you to plant a seed, and you did plant a seed. I don't know if you planted a seed or watered a seed, but
mm-hmm.
I was just going to tie it all the way back to sometimes, I mean, in the scripture it says we don't fight against flesh and against blood, but we fight against principalities and powers in high places. So if your friend was being, like, I guess, belligerent or ignorant towards you in a negative light, then that might not have been your friend that was in control. She might have been, you know, might have had the enemy influence her to say something like that. Because we sometimes we say things that we don't, you know, don't really mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so she might have said something like that. But, like, how can we maintain stability in our faith when we face opposition, when we face opposition and skepticism and against false teaching, in your opinion?
How can we maintain it?
Yep, how can we maintain our faith?
I think just by strengthening our relationship with God and drawing closer to God. I forgot where I heard this from. I think it was at my church. Shout out. But if you are not drawing closer to God, then who are you drawing close to? And I feel like I said in a past report of a Bible study. But I mean, it's so applicable everywhere to any and everything that has to do with Christianity, has to do with faith. If you are not drawing closer to God, who are you drawing closer to? So drawing closer to God and strengthening that relationship with Him and really solidifying that, I feel like is the best way to prepare.
That's real.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, because I most definitely was. I really wanted to see, because I know that you newer in the faith, and I wanted you to be able to encourage other people who are newer in the faith too. You know, some people more seasoned, and some people less seasoned. But you know, I love seeing different perspectives on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most definitely, just strengthening that faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the last question that we have, it says, in what ways does Peter encourage believers to live holy and godly lives in light of the certainty of the future and the promises of the new heavens and the new earth? So, how do you feel encouraged based on what Peter was talking about with the new heaven and the new earth?
Oh, my love. I don't remember what Peter was talking about. I can't read it. Can you please jog my memory?
I got you. He said in verses 13 and 14. Yeah, let me read 13 and 14. It says, but God made a promise to us, and we are waiting for what he promised, a new sky and a new earth. That will be the place where goodness lives. So, dear friends, we are waiting for this to happen. So try as hard as you can to be without sin and without fault, and try to be at peace with God. And then verse 15 says, remember that we are saved because of our Lord is patient. Our Lord is patient. So yeah, when I think of something like that, like all I can be like, just going back to the question, talk about in what ways does Peter encourage believers to live holy and godly lives? Because of the promise of the future. All I think about is like just living right because we know where we're going and we know what God is doing in the end. Like if you know the end of a book, you're gonna be excited to see the journey. And what you got to say about that? Because I had some more analogies I was gonna do, but I wanna hear what you got.
Oh no, I like that analogy with the book. You know, I'm a reader.
I know you a
That
reader.
tends
You
to
love,
skip ahead.
yeah. Oh, you skip ahead.
Oh yeah, I skip ahead all the time. I'll read the end, the last chapter, and then I get excited to see what happens. I have no idea the context, but I'm like, yeah, I can read the whole book, and I have something to look forward to. I think that's a great analogy for God's promises.
Oh,
Now, to
praise
us,
God.
because we already know what's gonna happen. We just gotta
Yeah.
make sure we're reading these chapters right. You know? Don't
That we
skip
living.
lines. Don't
Yeah.
fabricate. Don't you gotta
There
make
you
sure,
go.
like Peter said, we're gonna be sin free and at peace with God. And that excites me, honestly. It really does. It
Really?
excites to have, yes, to better my relationship with God, to allow myself to be led by the Holy Spirit, and to ensure that I'm living free of sin in the way that God wants me to be living, so that I can enjoy His promises, so that I can see the new sky and the new world that God is promising to us. I'm really excited. But I want to hear some more of these analogies. Haji is the master of analogy thing.
All I was gonna say was if you know the ending of a movie, you're excited to watch the small little details along the way. That's me. I want to see like a really good movie. If you know the ending of it, you want to see, oh, what are the little Easter eggs that hint give hints at the end, and that's what I really like about this Christian walk. You know, there's ups and downs, of course, but we don't have to be afraid and worried about what's going to happen at the end of our lives. We know that death is not the end, but death is only the beginning. I know that God promised that we're going to be in a place that, like in this promise, he said there's going to be a place with only goodness. So if I know that, hey, whenever I pass away, I'm gonna be going to heaven. Then I'm gonna just come to work happy or go to school happy, because I'm gonna be like, hey man, like I know where I'm gonna be at. You feel me? Let me start rounding up other people and start spreading the gospel so that they can feel this goodness too. And even if we are going through tough times or struggling, you might be broke, financially, or you might be going through tough times emotionally, like death in the family or something, or a breakup or things of that sort. Like, you can know that in the end, it's going to get better, because it has to get better, because God, he does not lie to us. So let the world mock us and try and ridicule us. They can try all they want, but our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, they mocked him all that Thursday, and they dragged him from judgment hall to judgment hall, and they crucified him on that Good Friday, because it was good for us, but it was not good for him. But after 3 days, he rose with all power in his hands. And because Jesus rose from the grave, we can rise from the grave. Can I get an amen? So, yeah, I appreciate you for, you know, jumping and joining and being a part of this. And, you know, everybody else that's going to be listening in the future, like, this is very encouraging. Like, people just don't understand, like, how important this is. Because you don't need to, like, church is not just a building. Church is when two or more gather together in the name of Jesus. You know, he in the midst. We are the church. Mm-hmm. And Jesus died for each and every one of us. And it says in his word that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. So if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and you confess with your mouth that he's your Lord and Savior, and that you are a sinner, that you need his saving, then you're saved right there. And that's all that matters. Now you can have the promises that God has for us, which is eternal life and nothing but goodness after death, you know? But yeah, that's me getting off my soapbox for this week.
Beautifully done. Well done. Well done.
All glory to God. All glory to God. But yeah, you got any last remarks, anything about this chapter, or just nurture and growth in general? Any tips, anything?
I encourage everybody to stay hot. And I don't mean hot, you know, in the physical sense. I know we in Florida, not that kind of hot, but I mean humble, open, and transparent. I encourage everybody to be humble with God, be open with God, be transparent with God, and allow him to, you know, fill you with his Holy Spirit. Allow him to work within you. That's the only way.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in for today's episode of Bible Study Vibes. Your support means the world to us. If you found value in today's discussion, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and share it with your friends and family. Together we can continue to grow in our faith and inspire others to draw closer to Christ. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you, and may his word continue to guide you and strengthen you on your journey. Thank you for being a part of Bible Study Vibes. Deuces.